section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Two WWEs make their return. The president of Aces and Eights is revealed. And TNA is live in Chicago. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
It's TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Jimmy Uso got a DUI. ... again. So what's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, you would think that if you are one of the lowest people on the totem pole right now in terms of WWE people who are on superstars, you may not want to mess up. And unfortunately, Jimmy Uso, this is his second strike. I would not be surprised if he might get canned.
I don't think he'll get canned, but he'll get suspended for the second offense. But it's been almost, you know, it's been, what, 18 months since the last one? The last one happened on the 29th of September, 2011. You know, it's been 18 months, but, you know, this means he can't drive. He's going to lose his license. So, you know, is he driving with his brother? You know, you would think they are, but you never know. But yeah, I thought this was really interesting. Just this is coming off the DWI by Jack Swagger, which he wasn't drinking and driving. He was smoking and driving. So
yeah, which another dumb thing. You know, if you're driving somewhere, why can't you wait? That's my question. If you cannot wait, then get a cab. You know, it's not that hard and it's a lot safer. So it is unfortunate, but you know, it's where we're at right now. Now, Andy, I got to ask you, Billy Corgan met with Dixie Carter about a possible partnership. Can you let us know a little bit more about this?
Billy Corgan, for a few years now, has Resistant Pro Wrestling, and that's based out of Chicago. It's an indie pro wrestling thing. I've actually watched a couple of their tapes. They're okay. Like, they're not, like, spectacular. I would say this is just a little bit above CZW, Combat Zone Wrestling. It's just a little bit above it. It's not the same. But I think the quality of matches in CCW is a little bit better than Resistance Pro. But overall, it's actually a good promotion. I like the indie stuff, but he actually asked the WWE, he met with Stephanie McMahon at one point, and asked to do like a partnership because he said that he wants his guys to come here. And then if he wants to, you know, and then they can go to developmental. He didn't really want a huge cut like some people want. Some people want 30% of their salary. He just wants them to, you know, like almost have a trainer come down from the WWE and say, this is what you need to work on to be better, you know, to get up to the big stage. Well, I guess the WWE pretty much blew him off. But he met with Dixie Carter, which is kind of a big deal. They're in Chicago tonight. Is this, you know, this could just be one of those things where she just does it for publicity. And then she could, you know, it might be that they blow him off as well because they already have OVW where some of the Impact stars are coming now. But I haven't seen any new Impact stars. But yeah, so that's what's going on with that.
And I got to say, I like the idea of them doing a partnership because I've always thought it would be really great for Ring of Honor and TNA to do that. You know, when you think about it, I've said before, so I know I'm going to be a broken record. You have X Division star come in for 6 months, do a program with TNA, and then you ship him back to Ring of Honor and vice versa. AJ Styles, for example, you know, he was gone, quote unquote. You could have had him in Ring of Honor just doing a quick little thing with them. So I like the idea. I just hope that they implement it properly.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if Ring of Honor starts working with the WWE more just for the simple fact that they've been getting guys out of there, and there's a couple guys right now that are rumored to get developmental deals with the WWE, one of them being Adam Cole, who just got done doing a program with Matt Hardy. But I feel that they wouldn't go to TNA. I think that they would go to WWE first. But Sinclair, the people who owned it right now, they're actually going to be showing the show in my neck of the woods on I think it's going to be WHOI on Saturday nights because they just bought them out. So we'll see when that's going to happen. I'll talk about it then. Anyway, so the TNA locker room morale is at an all-time low.
And now, why is that?
This is very interesting, just reading some of the dirt sheets. But right now, a lot of the stars are working dual shows. So in Chicago, they work two shows. They get paid for one, though. So they're not getting paid for two like they did in Impact Zone. Also, it's a skeleton crew. There's not as many people on like the whole production crew that are going there. This is a big deal because you would think that they would have, especially the first few shows, they'd have everyone there. But they don't, which is the weird part. Also, something interesting at the Chicago show, they didn't fill up that arena. Not even close. They actually,
it did look very full, though.
It did, because the upper deck, there are some upper deck seats, but they made everyone who basically bought tickets on camera side, they made them go around. So they would only film it from half of the upper deck. If you looked, you could see it, and I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm waiting to hear more reports because there's not many out there right now, but I bet you anything that they tarped a lot of that stuff off to make it look that way, because it did look a lot fuller than what it was. You know, I'd like this. I can't wait till I hear the ticket sales on this. This is what I'm wondering. But yes.
Yeah, so I hope that it's good. I do. That would help with morale. And I, taking a look at it tonight, it looked very full. And, you know, I understand, obviously, looks can be deceiving. But having it look that way can help boost morale, make it seem like, oh, you know what, we're a lot bigger company now than what we were. So that can really help out a lot.
Yeah, and I'm just hoping, you know, like I want them to succeed. I just hope that this doesn't lower morale even more. So RVD's contract expired. He was getting paid $2,500 per appearance, and that's it. It's over with. So is he coming back to the WWE then? Or is he done?
I wouldn't be surprised. They didn't have as big of a program with him going forward. So it wouldn't surprise me if he does go back to WWE. They could do a lot with him, and you know, they could just have him in there for a 6-month stint.
Maybe have him in a TLC match at WrestleMania or Money in the Bank match just so he can be there and, you know, botch everything that he does. But anyway, so something bigger than that, than RVD's contract expired, it's that Bobby Roode's contract expired and no one realized it. And he had one. And the thing is, he had a 1-year option left on his deal. Mm-hmm. Do you think that maybe he's getting paid a little bit extra money because of this now? Or do you think that he was really looking more towards WWE because there was rumor that they wanted him and Storm to come over?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, having them come over would help legitimize their tag division. And Roode is a main eventer. You know, he is. So it would be kind of cool to see him over in WWE. But right now he is doing really well in TNA. And I think that, you know, the program they have him in right now with Austin Aries is going to help elevate him and his career a little bit more. So we'll see. I think the bigger issue, though, them letting the contract lapse is such – it's one of those things that you have a calendar reminder that says Robert Roode's contract is expiring on this date, and you have a week reminder, okay, 1 week reminder, and then you have a day reminder in case you did not take care of it. Allowing that to expire and then him going, by the way, guys, I don't have a contract. What are we going to do? That to me is short-sightedness, and it makes TNA look a little unprofessional, in my opinion.
And that's, yeah, I completely agree with him looking unprofessional because you should know that. But Hogan actually said in an interview just a few days ago that it happened to him as well, and he had to remind him about it. So that's two, all right? RVD, who knows? Who knows if they realized that his deal's up? But he was getting paid $2,500, so they're paying him a lot of money to, you know, botch matches a bunch of times. But anyway, so moving on to WWE, something interesting that they've been doing is that they've been reaching out to former divas. They contacted Beth Phoenix, Kelly Kelly, and of course Miz's fiance Maryse. Is this basically because they realized the divas division stinks?
What division?
Exactly.
Honestly, don't get me wrong. TNA's is kind of dwindling a little bit themselves, but WWE's is non-existent. And I feel really bad for Caitlyn because the only reason she's holding the title right now is because there's no one else to give it to. And it's not like she's legitimizing the title. It's not like she's making it, you know, having this monumental run like somebody like Lita or Trish Stratus had back in the day. It's a one-off. You know, she is somebody who is holding that title for somebody else. And it's honestly kind of a joke. So first of all, they should not have let those people go, plain and simple. They should not have let Beth Phoenix go. Kelly, maybe Maryse. No, you know, they shouldn't have. And so bringing them back, yeah, makes total sense.
Now, do you think that Layla should be the Divas champion right now?
She would help legitimize it more. She's more credible than Caitlyn. You know, we'll probably see them in a match at WrestleMania right before the real main event. You know, when people go and have their smokes.
Or they go outside, stretch, bathroom break, you know, McDonald's run, depending on what you talk about, you know, how you look at it. Also, something interesting that's came out is that Vince is starting to lose interest in the Swagger Coulter storyline. And the reason why is because the crowd is not really into it as much as it was. And do you think this is the writing that's causing it? Or is
I think it's cheap heat.
Cheap heat.
That's my feeling on it. Mick Foley did so well doing the cheap pops, saying, and I'm happy to be here in Chicago, Illinois. And he put the thumb up and the people would cheer. And they knew that that's what it was. They knew that it was cheap, a cheap pop. What they're doing right now is really cheap heat. And the worst part of all is that if they go to southern states like Texas or Arizona, a lot of the people are probably going to cheer Jack Swagger, you know, because they're going to be like, yeah, the illegal immigrants. Oh, man, it's such a horrible issue. You know, it's such a horrible problem, you know. So he'll probably get cheered there, you know. And some people just don't care about it either. Some people, I think that the average person might say, you know what, I'm probably against illegal immigrants, but, you know, I understand they're coming here for their families. It's not that big of a deal. So when you hear somebody talking about it, you're like, well, I don't care. It's cheap heat, you know, and it's bad cheap heat on top of it.
Yeah, but I truthfully think it's bad writing, just like what happened on with the Jericho segment this week. It was Jericho, gosh, and Maddox, and, you know, it doesn't matter who else was in it because I forgot. But the point
of Miz and Wade Barrett.
I'm sorry, yeah, Miz and Wade Barrett, because, you know, Wade Barrett came out and talked about how good his film was, and it tanked. And I'm just wondering if the call is going to tank too. But Brad Maddox got blamed for this, but actually, who's to blame? WWE creative and writers, because this was thought up the day of. They're like, hey, let's go ahead and do this. You know, the Jericho Tron was up there because they did not have the proper graphic for it. They forgot. That's how messed up this show was. So, of course, who makes fun of the segment? Cole and Lawler.
And when you hear Michael Cole say that this is one of the worst segments we've ever had on Raw, as a fan, you're probably going, what, really? What is he talking about? It was hard for them. It really was, because it was a bad, bad segment. And Jericho was doing everything he could to try and salvage it. But you could tell that this was thrown together. You could tell that this was not professional. And I think that was the biggest problem with this segment. The other thing too, I think that Brad Maddox is a pretty bad character. I don't see anything very redeeming about him. He should have stayed as a ref. Have him be a heel ref, you know, have him be the, oh, hey, Brad Maddox is out there. He's the ref. Remember, he's been a part of controversial endings. And you could do that with his character. Him as the assistant general manager doesn't do anything for me. And when he's on the mic, he's really boring. There's nothing entertaining about this guy. But I want to move on, though, Andy, to another thing that happened was, you know, as we talked about earlier, other former divas coming back, the Bella Twins made their return.
Now, do you think the real reason that they made their return is because a certain superstar named Cena and the other one named Bryan Danielson decided that, hey, let's get them back, you know, so that we can be on the road and spend more time with them? Do you think that's what really happened here?
That's
what I think happened here. One thing also that I thought was really interesting about Raw this week, it was basically a Paul Bearer tribute show, which I thought was really cool. I was very happy with it. I thought they did a great job until CM Punk came out and stole the Undertaker's thunder, literally. And one thing I thought was really interesting about it is that I thought that they would do something like where Lightning would strike Punk. Remember back in the day they did that a couple of times?
Yeah, where, yeah.
And I thought that's what was going to happen. I was waiting for it, and then nothing happened. I was like, you got to be kidding me. It was a huge letdown.
Well, let's talk about this first of all. There's a difference between paying tribute and beating it into the ground. Paying tribute is saying, in loving memory of Paul Bearer, showing some of his, you know, all-time great segments. You know, them saying, you know, I never heard a bad word said about him. You know, he was just such a great performer, really great person to be around. Then you have CM Punk come out and say, you know, to Paul Bearer, you'll always be 20-0, but at WrestleMania, you'll be 20-1. Okay, you know, that's interesting. Why does he need to be brought up, though? What's the point in that? Why are they doing this again? They did it after Owen Hart. They did it after Eddie Guerrero. They're doing it now. They did it after Jerry the King Lawler's mother died. I don't understand why they think that stuff like that is okay, yet, you know, throwing the middle finger up isn't. You know, doing the DX chops isn't okay. That type of stuff, no, we can't do that. This is a family show. But you're allowed to make fun of dead people. That's okay.
Katie Vick? Anyone? Katie Vick? Yeah, I do agree with that, dude. I mean, there's a point where you say, that's it. I mean, it's like when Benoit died. Like, no one wants to talk about Benoit. Granted, he did something horrible. But still, they had a Benoit tribute show.
Your family is one of those things where people tend to forget about you.
Yeah.
And all your good accomplishments.
Exactly. Which, he'll never be in the WWE Hall of Fame, unfortunately. Darn. Anyway, so Benoit should be in the Hall of Fame, dude. Regardless of him killing his family, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Andy, you better call your mama, because there's no way that he should be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
I did.
Ever.
And Brodus was like, what up? And I was like, what up, dude?
Okay, good. So Brian and Ziggler have a really great match, which is, it's good to see this on free TV. One of the shining points of Raw. I just think it's one of those things we need to point out. When you do see things like this, Ziggler did win. They have kind of this little mini feud going on right now, which is kind of cool. But anyway, the other thing that happened, Andy, kind of a big deal. The Shield takes out Big Show. And what else happened with that?
Well, they powerbombed Show. And one thing I will say about Big Show, he sucked as a wrestler. These last 4 years, he has become a wrestler. And he's a big guy. But he can wrestle. He took a bumps like a champ, like you're supposed to. And it was still weird watching it happen, because it's like, oh, wow, he actually sold it. And when he was in WCW, he would just no sell everything. It actually looked good. And it was believable, like, that he was hurt. You know, like, he really, that powerbomb took a lot out of him. Big props to Big Show on this. Also, the Shield, it makes him even look better. They look so much better now. One thing also I want to talk about that happened on programming this week. Why did Drew McIntyre get 3 finishing moves done to him?
You know, I don't know, but Andy, you did miss a big point, though, to go back just a second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Shield has a match at WrestleMania now.
Yes, it's going to be Orton, Sheamus, and Ryback, which I thought was kind of weird, because I'm surprised they're not doing a Ryback Mark Henry feud at WrestleMania.
I think that they're going to be. I think what's going to happen, because Big Show did say he wanted to take them out. My guess is that Big Show might knock out Ryback and say, look, I'm the guy. And then Big Show, Orton, and Sheamus take out the Shield at WrestleMania. And then Ryback takes on Mark Henry to have that big moment where he, you know, does the shell shock to him.
By the way,
that's my guess.
Actually, you might be right on that. One thing I thought was really funny, Drew McIntyre took the same bump 3 times in a row. And I sat there and was looking, and I was like, you know what? He basically just did a simple back bump all 3 times, and it doesn't look that bad each time. But he sold it, made it look bad. He had officials come out and help him out, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
But yeah. Moving on to CM Punk, something happened during this match, and I didn't notice it until later on, but he got hurt. He actually hurt his elbow. which I
and
thought
you're
was
talking about the match, of course, he had against Kane.
Yes.
Which they set up at the very beginning of the night. I will give him props. Don't get me wrong. I don't like the fact that they were besmirching the legacy of Paul Bearer, but they did set up the main event at the very beginning of the show. Smart move against two main eventers, CM Punk and Kane. And as you mentioned, CM Punk got hurt.
Yeah, it looks like he hurt his elbow, and this is pretty early on in the match. I didn't realize the ref threw the X up. And usually they throw the X above their head. And instead, he just did a real quick one. I was like, okay. I never caught it the first time, but second time after someone said it, I rewatched it, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is true. He legitimately got hurt. He finished the match, though. You know, that's just the trooper he is. But I just thought that was really interesting. Usually, and people also speculate that he hurt his knee again. And just to point that out, it was not a lower body injury. It was an upper body injury, as we say in hockey. But yeah, one thing that happened was that he loses because of the bell, the doom, the Undertaker bell, as I like to call it. I thought that was really interesting. I just was hoping that Taker did something else to him to actually hurt him, but oh well. That's just
what do you think of that too? You know, we're going to talk about it, I know, in the coming weeks, but you know, Undertaker and CM Punk, are they going to have really good chemistry?
No, this is going to be a horrible match.
You think so?
This will be a horrible match. I thought last year's match was bad, which was in the top 10 of the WrestleMania magazine that was put out. I thought last year's was bad. This year's will be worse because CM Punk works a certain style and he's going to have to dumb it down dramatically because Taker won't be able to handle it. And then Taker's done. This will be Taker's last match. And I think it'll be kind of interesting because they can say that, you know, he'll rest in peace like Paul Bearer. You know, you can say something like that, which is stupid. But
you know they will, too.
Of course they will. It's the WWE. Why not exploit it? Because they would say, this is what William Moody would have wanted. And he would have probably been like, no, let me die. Call it a day. Do a tribute. You know, give me a 2-minute package and call it a day. You know, and that's it. But anyways, so let's move on to our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, or you're just not happy with a web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out 686 Off The Mark page. You're going to see a little banner at the top, and they just have so many deals right now. I can't even explain to everyone all the deals they're doing. They're doing, you know, shirts as cheap as I saw $7.95, and some of even the newer ones for as cheap as $24.95. You got to check it out, WWEshop.com, but, you know, make sure you use the link from the Section 86 Off The Mark page, and HighSpots.com, awesome as well. All right, so let's move on to Impact this week. And, of course, we're talking about TNA. Let's first start off with their pay-per-view Lockdown, which they had some technical difficulties on this. They actually couldn't get the top of the cage to actually stay on it, which I thought was really interesting. So they had to change a couple of the matches because of that, some of the things that happened in it. But starting off the show, I thought this was going to be in a cage, but Zema Ion, Kenny King, and Christian York. Spot-filled match. Just a spot-filled match. Some
now,
matches.
Andy, do you remember the setup? How Christian York got involved in this match?
I'm actually wondering, how did he get involved in the match? Were they just like, hey?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering the same thing too. When somebody hasn't been on TV for 4 weeks, you would think that maybe him randomly appearing at the pay-per-view is kind of a weird thing. Maybe.
Yeah, you would think that somehow, some way, you know, Kenny King would have came out and said, hey, I can do this, I can do that, instead of, wow, I just beat RVD, and that's it.
Yeah, this is sloppy writing right here. Zema Ion and Christian York being in this match was kind of useless. You would have RVD in there saying he's using his rematch clause, something like that, and then have Kenny King beat him for real. I did not understand this, and so I feel like this match was – it was good, but it was one of those storyline-wise just did not make any sense. Yeah. Now, Andy, another thing that happened, what do you think they are going to do with Park and with Ryan? Because these two had a match, and we just talked about the X Division there. Why don't they have Joey Ryan be in the X Division and then have Park, you know, he can do his thing that he's going to have with Matt Morgan coming up?
You know, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why they even had this match on the pay-per-view. I mean, there's no payoff for the Joseph Park thing. There's absolutely nothing now. I kept saying that if he was the president of Ace and Eights, that would have been awesome. He basically threw a curveball at us. Great. Now what do you do with him? He's the underdog? You can only do that for so long. And then it's like, okay, now you got to reinvent the character. I could care less about this. I do like Joey Ryan, but Joseph Park, you know, bring a best back.
Yeah.
Just
and they'll probably have to do that pretty soon. Now, the other thing that in Lethal Lockdown, they had TNA beat Aces and Eights. And this was a really big deal because, of course, they were the underdogs going in. And having them win was, you know, I think it was expected. It was a smart move. But later in the night, then, we had Bully Ray taking on Jeff Hardy. And at the end of the match, Aces and Eights comes over the cage. And D-Von throws Bully Ray the hammer. He takes out Jeff Hardy, pins him 1-2-3, becomes the new champion, is revealed to be the head of Aces and Eights, and cuts a heel promo. Andy, do some analysis for all of that right there.
Well, first off, I find it messed up that TNA had to have plants in the ring to start chucking stuff into the ring because they wanted it to be like the moment when Hogan turned heel and the NWO was born. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is that stuff getting thrown in the ring, that's not a good sign. I mean, I remember WCW Nitro days where people would get in the face with a pop and they wouldn't even see it coming. And it can mess with wrestlers. I mean, I've heard of some people when that was going on for WCW that they would put other things in those drinks. And then wrestlers would get hit with that. That is disgusting, number one, but also hilarious to a certain point as well, because they're the ones who've been egging that on. I thought that was a bad move on TNA to do that, first off. Second off, I thought it was awesome because it was there the entire time. We should have seen it. They both get re-signed at the same time. They both sign the same contract. D-Von has revealed them as a member of Aces and Eights, and you should have just known right off the bat so is Bully. Oh, well. But, yeah, so that's all I really got to say about that. I mean,
what do you think, though? It's his first major title reign, though.
Yeah, it is.
That's a pretty big deal.
You know, it was a big deal. And, you know, he's gotten, 10 times better shape than what he ever has been his entire life. He looks good. He looks like a champion. You know, to me, I always look at what is the ending payoff for him being champion. Because on Impact, they didn't do anything. Because, like, with Jeff Hardy, you think Jeff Hardy would get involved, you know, majorly at the following show, but he didn't. On Impact, he just came out at the very end.
Towards the end, but at the beginning, he cut a really big heel promo. He even brought up Hogan being a part of the NWO, mm-hmm. and he said you weren't nearly as good as I was. And I actually liked his heel promo. I think Bully's really good on the mic. I think having him as the president makes a lot more sense. Because he's that mouthpiece, he's going to be the person who goes to the ring, who is on the microphone, who cuts the promos, and will make the group look more credible. So I like that. I still don't care for Garrett Bischoff being in there. D'Lo being revealed is kind of stupid. Taz being revealed is also stupid. It's kind of dumb. You know, the stuff that they have going on is kind of dumb. The one thing they have to address with this, though, is Bully Ray was attacked multiple times by the Aces and Eights members. He himself was attacked.
Right.
And done so live. Not they had a couple in the back segments where they found him on the ground. Yeah, you can, of course, fake that. But he was attacked in the ring during the wedding. He was attacked, you know? So how are you going to explain that? Are you going to say, well, I had them attack me to make it look credible? Well, yeah, you did that for 6 months, really? Probably not. Anyway, Andy, one of the biggest things going on, though, this week is that the Robbies are feuding.
Yes. I won my first candidate for worst match of the year goes to them at Lethal Lockdown, that pay-per-view.
So, Andy, AJ Styles makes his big return. during James Storm and Christopher Daniels match.
Yeah, the Legion of Boom came out, did their thing, and James Storm came out. You know, the weird part is Styles came in for a save and then kicks James Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Or knocks him down. What was the... I don't understand this. I mean, he's not a part of...
You don't understand?
No, he's not a part of the Legion of Boom.
No, he's not. You know why he did that, right?
No.
So, you forgot.
I forgot.
A couple pay-per-views ago, James Storm, AJ Styles, and Robert Roode had a three-way match. Whoever won was the number one contender. Whoever was pinned could not get a TNA world title shot for a full year. AJ Styles was pinned by James Storm.
Okay.
So that is the reason why. AJ Styles does not like James Storm. And also they had a, you know, leading up after that match, James Storm and AJ Styles were having issues. So this is going to lead to a big deal at Slammiversary in June. You are now not only going to have the following 3 months of, you know, underlying storyline going on, you're now going to have an additional 3 months to build up this match between these two people. I think that's a huge deal. And I think that's going to make AJ Styles' return a lot better. It's going to put James Storm in a lot better program because, let's be honest, he hasn't been in a program with anybody recently. So these two will actually have a really good match and a really good feud going forward.
Yeah, and I think, okay, now you talk about that, this entire segment makes sense now. I forgot about that for some reason. But I don't understand why Joseph Park was able to come out and cut a promo, and then the blueprint, Matt Morgan, comes out and gets in the boot to the face, which he almost botched, and it sets it up for them next week. So I'm calling it right now. Park wins with a roll, but he grabs the tights.
I disagree. I think Matt Morgan's going to win. He's going to make an example out of Park.
Okay.
And then I think that Matt Morgan, it's funny because you have Aces and Eights attacking Hogan, then you have Matt Morgan attacking Hogan from a completely different angle. So I like that. I like the fact that it's two completely separate entities for two completely separate reasons. I think it'll be interesting. Hogan obviously is pissed about what's going on in TNA right now. So I think that they'll have some good things going forward. Now, the main event of TNA on Thursday was Austin Aries against Sting, which on paper sounds amazing. But then you kind of realize that Sting is a little older, and this match definitely was not up to what you would expect it to be.
No, and you could tell that Aries was having trouble working with Sting. That was the one thing I noticed. Not the other way around. Because Aries still had a couple spots that he did that Sting can take those, you know, simple bumps. It's not that big of a deal. But it seemed like almost like Sting was just like, it almost looked like he ran a marathon or something like that. And then it was like, hey, I'm going to wrestle now. That's how I took it. It just looked like he's past his prime. Like he needs to give it up now. That's what I took out of that match. I felt bad because you would think that Aries and Sting would actually put on a decent match. You know, 5 years ago, Sting, 10 years ago, Sting would have put on a great match with Austin Aries. But, you know, since he's the only member in the TNA Hall of Fame. Yeah. Anyway, so Hogan comes out at the very end because Ace of Eights actually came out during the Aries Sting match. And what happened was Sting put the Scorpion Death lock on him. And Ace of Eights came out and started beating them up, throw both guys out of the ring. And Hogan comes out and says, you know what? I got a group of guys from the locker room. And, you know, it's on like Donkey Kong. So they go out there and those guys get beat up. A beatdown ensues. And I thought, I'm like, oh, great. This is how they're going to end it. Nope. Bully Ray grabs the mic, cuts another great promo and basically says, that's all you got. That's all you got. So I'm wondering, what are they going to bring in now to take down Aces and Eights? Because you got to bring a couple guys that are big in. And I was trying to find some free agents, but I don't know who it is. Is it going to be the blueprint?
I don't know who they would either. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. You could. The only people I can think of are X Division people. And so X Division people aren't going to be the ones taking out Aces and Eights. MVP, but he doesn't have any beef with them. You know, so what would he do? It's not like Matt Hardy's a part of them. Or Matt Hardy, you could potentially bring him in. But I can't think of anybody that's a free agent that they would have take him out.
Who's the guy who won Tough Enough? What's he doing now?
Yeah, that guy is probably not going to be a big name. Yeah, they have him come out and the crowd goes, "Who are you? Like, who are you?"
Like every time Jesse comes out, they're like, "And Jesse, who are you?" But yeah.
So I don't know. I think that this was a pretty good impact for, especially after having the pay-per-view. I do like having all this time in between. I'm thinking now it's March and the next pay-per-view is not till June.
Yep.
Not till June. And that's a really big deal. I'm actually really excited for that. And Hogan, he was on a radio show and he was saying that it makes those four actually mean something. It's a bigger deal. And I really agree with him. I think that lockdown was a bigger deal. It felt a little bit more grand to me. And I think that Slammiversary, I don't know yet, but I think that might have a bit more of a bigger feel to me. And it'll be almost, I don't want to say four WrestleManias, but like four Royal Rumbles, four Survivor Series, or SummerSlams. I think that's the way that I feel those pay-per-views are. Whereas with WWE, I might get excited for an Elimination Chamber match, but then it's, you watch it and it's just kind of the same old, same old. You know, will Payback be a big deal? Probably not. We're going to watch it and be like, it was pay-per-view,
If Payback was the April pay-per-view, I'd understand, but I don't get the June pay-per-view thing.
Yeah.
But I will say overall for the, two live shows this week, being the pay-per-view in one area and then Chicago for Impact. And here's something interesting that you probably never thought about, but Impact, they're wrestling pretty much over this weekend, and they're also taping their pay-per-views as well this weekend as well, which I thought was really interesting.
Now, and they're taping next week's show on this Friday, right?
Nope, they're actually taping it right now. It actually should be ending. So this show's already done.
Yeah. So if anything else, the thing about the live event is it's probably really good for the Chicago crowd because they're getting a lot of wrestling for their money. And if I was there, if I was in the Chicago area, I probably would have gone to this, just to see, because that's so much wrestling. And I think I would be excited to be a part of something like that.
I had a lot of people ask me if I was going up there, but I said the problem was that they wouldn't give us a press badge. And also, it's a long drive to get where that place is from where we're from. I mean, you're talking easily 3 hours, if not 4 hours.
You figure you have to the commute itself to get there and how late it's going to be. It's not an easy thing to go do. But nonetheless, I think that it's really great they're going on the road. This week's Impact, it looked big. It looked like they were over in England almost. It looked really, really good. But we'll see how it is, in the following weeks. Chicago is one type of crowd. It's going to be different than a Boston crowd. It's going to be different than a Virginia crowd. We'll see. But anyway, we actually no weekly topic this week, unfortunately, but we will be back with a really good one next week.
Yeah, and one thing I also want to talk about, for everyone who's actually going to WrestleMania, I envy you because there are wrestling show. I counted 7 wrestling shows within a 50-mile radius that are going on during WrestleMania weekend. I envy you guys who are all going there. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and ending the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.